a hero. He was brilliant today, Ekotike, taking his tally to 9 and 10 goals for the season. We could have got more near the end, but it was a really good performance by Liverpool, this one today. Played some good stuff at times. We've kept a clean sheet. How important was that? Ekotike opened the scoring with the quickest goal scored in the Premier League this season. Minté with a mistake at the back, at right back, cleared the ball wayward. Great header by Joe Gomez into the back of Ekotike. Great touch, great finish for 1-0. Then we had chances into the second half. We scored from a corner. Mo Salah came on. He played in a corner from the right at the top end. And Ekotike rising late to score. Salah might have scored a couple near the end of the game. But it's a great victory this for Liverpool. Back on track at Anfield. Liverpool 2, Brighton 0.
Yes, it was a thoroughly enjoyable afternoon here at Anfield, as described there by our commentator, Steve Hunter. Coming up in this episode of The Reaction, we'll hear from Arne Slot and Curtis Jones on the victory over Brighton. First, though, to our pundits, Reds legend Phil Thompson and Ray Houghton, who joined myself, Mark Benstead, pitchside after the game.
And supporters happily making their way out of Anfield this evening, pleased with the result, first of all, but also, I imagine, with what they've seen today. Phil Thompson, Ray Houghton are back with me, braving the cold and listening to the Christmas tunes once again.
It's Home Alone.
It very much is Home Alone, see? That is Home Alone. I think a thoroughly enjoyable performance, first of all. There was so much to like about what we saw, and so many players delivering 7, 8, 9s today, I think.
Oh, no, absolutely. And it's again comfortable. I know Brighton have had a few attacks in the last sort of 20 minutes. That's the way the game goes. And we were talking about Ray in transition. In transition, we looked more threatening today. And we should have really seen them off. Should have been 3 or 4. But you could see that coming in more sort of as we're under pressure, getting the ball forward quickly. And as you said, Mark, all round you're seeing improving in players. You know, no more so than Wirtz. Florian Wirtz, I thought in that, his cameo performance was top class.
Yeah, we spoke about Liverpool being in almost a season of transition as new players arrive, there's new dimensions to the team. And I thought today was one of those days where it offered a glimpse of the future. You know, in transition, the way we broke at pace at times, it was so much more encouraging than some of the things we've seen, where it was a bit static, a bit slow, a bit one pace. So much better this afternoon.
Yeah, you're quite right in what you say there, Mark, but you need a platform to build from, and that's back-to-back clean sheets, Inter Milan midweek and then another one today. And that's filled with defender. He'll tell you the essence of a good side is when you're solid at the back, because you go forward in the confidence and the belief that if you nick one, the boys at the back are going to see it through. And I thought we've seen that today. I thought Kirkish had his best game for Liverpool. I thought he was outstanding. He was up against a really strong winger who likes to run, you know, physically imposing. He had a couple of runs early on who got the better of him, but then he learned positionally where he should be. I thought he was absolutely outstanding from that point of view. Big Ebu, you know, that was another big plus for him today. Phil and I were talking about him. Look back to his best, he's passing forward, he's winning headers in the box. We gave up one or two half chances, but you expect that. They're a decent team. They're a good footballing side. We've talked about Brighton before the game. They'll come and they'll have a go at Liverpool. I thought overall it was an all-round really good performance on the back of what happened midweek. And now the boys can have a few days, reflect on what's gone on and push on again next Saturday against Tottenham.
Ray's right to highlight the defensive side of today's performance and right to highlight Ibu Konate. I thought it was really good what we've seen from him in both the games this week. And there was a moment first half where the play was going down the wing, and rather than try anything fancy, try anything overcomplicated, you just put it out, got back in position. I thought that was kind of indicative of almost going back to what the basics, what we liked about him last season in the performance the last couple of days.
It's in general what a centre-back should do. And as I've said, your centre-backs are there to defend. You make the least mistakes as a centre-back, the better player you become. Because you know opposition players or teams, they go, he's going to make a mistake today. I did, as a sort of an assistant manager, looking at statistics, he will make a mistake. You've got to be ready for it. That's what happens, and you've got to get out of that habit. Remember that Robbo went through that in a little bit of a time last year. And I just think Ibu, but Milos Kerkez, also, I thought he was outstanding today.
There was also a nice moment, I think second half, Brighton had a little spell, dangerous ball into the box, and the guys got back and they managed to clear the danger. It was a great kind of effort, players getting back, and there was that moment where Ibu turns round, celebrating it with the other defenders, and I like to see that from a defensive unit.
It is, and it shows there's a sort of a togetherness as well, and it's not just one person who has to do that role. You are, and I always believe it's as a unit. You as a back four, you do your job. The lads midfield, up front, let them sort of get the plaudits, scoring goals and everything. Our job is to knock and seed. And what we've done today, we've won the game 2-0. We're comfortable. We've played well at the back. And it's five games unbeaten. And we're on that little bit of a charge.
Yeah. Don't forget with Ibu today, he played with three different right backs. I mean, he started with
Joe Gomez. And two of them are midfielders.
He started off with Joe, and then Dominic went back there, then Curtis. And that's difficult as a centre, right-sided centre-back, because, you know, you're getting different types of players coming back in and out. Some you don't have to cover, others you do, and you've got to learn as you go along, and I thought he'd done really well from that. But people are quick enough to put him down when he's not played as well as he can. I think occasions like today, when he's played well, you've got to highlight it as well. You've got to have that balance about when you're speaking about players, and when they do well, you have to turn around and promote what they've done today. So the likes of Milos, the likes of Ibu, yeah, I thought two of them done very well defensively today.
I mentioned a moment ago, it almost offered a glimpse of the future perhaps today. It feels like Florian Wirtz will be central to that. The way he moves around the field, the way he links things, some of the touches he has, his game awareness is so good.
Well, not just his game awareness. I think he's a different player to the one that started the season. He was getting pushed off the ball too easily, you know, and now you see his upper body strength, he's holding players off, he's going between players quite comfortably, he's not going to ground because he's strong. He looks stronger to me, he looks like he's put a bit of weight, upper body strength, he's holding players off now.
That can be part of it, can't it?
Yeah, it can be part of it. I mean, maybe he just wasn't used to the physicality and he's got, you know, he's up to speed with it now. Maybe in training it's been happening to him and they think, right, I'm ready for this now. But it's not just that. Phil and I were watching the game and it's his weight of pass. You know, it's a lovely little 1-2 and normally he sorts the right pass out with the right weight on it to set people. Look, listen, we could have had more goals. There was one or two later on more when he tried to play Virgil through and he just overhit it. Little things like that. But they could have been the difference between 4-0, 5-1 in that game rather than ended up the scoreline of 2-0.
There's almost two different parts to the game, sort of before Mo came on and when Mo came on, because there was a slight shift in how we played. If you look at the average positions before he came on and what we were doing, to then after when he kind of ends up being more of a forward-thinking player, I think it's interesting how much rotation and movement there was in midfield, similar to what we saw in midweek in Milan. I just think that's something really interesting that's developed, and it's a real weapon moving forward because it's so difficult for the defenders to pick up our players when 1 minute Ekitike is through the middle, then he's on the flank, and then Curtis has moved in. And it's such a weapon, such a key part of how we could develop.
Yeah, I had a look at it today, and there was a lot of movement or interchanging of players. And Mo, come on. And you're looking at the left back, and he's like that. Oh, my goodness, Mo's backing into him. Look, one time he just pushed him. I thought, at home, you get that decision going in your favour. But he looked hungry for the ball. He looked hungry to try and play other people in. Everything was working. You look at Curtis. Curtis is doing drag backs on the edge of our box. On the byline. Not half. He did me as well. Honestly, my two bad knees all come out of place. But it was players playing with confidence. But we had that interchange of position. And maybe it helps. You look at it and it's the old Ajax system, playing players in all different positions, see how comfortable they are. We had to adapt because players had to get moved about, some because of injury, some because of tactical. And I think we all developed, we all looked quite comfortable and confident.
That was the best we've passed it from defence to midfield to strikers. There was four or five movements, first half, second half, where we went the length of the field with the ball because it was quick. Movement was good, the pass was the right pass to be made, and it was just the final ball wasn't quite there. But the general build-up play, I thought, was excellent at times today.
Yeah, that's one of the things I was sort of sat thinking. I was like, you know, if I'm struggling to keep track of who's playing where, and I'm up in the stand with that kind of view of it, what's it like if you're a Brighton midfielder trying to pick up your man? When 1 minute you're marking Ekitike, the next minute it's Curtis Jones. It's so fluid at times. It was a real step forward, I thought, in that regard, across the two games this week.
Yeah, but you need to be good players, and you need to take it on board what's needed, because sometimes you can be confused. You start telling players and they go, I'm not really used to that. Where am I supposed to go? It's good players. It's giving trust in them to sort of move around the pitch, accept control of certain areas. And I thought it was great. I thought Ryan Gravenberch, for all what was going on around him, oh my goodness, how good was he to sort of let that ball, the Gravenberch drops the shoulder, just glides past people and turns what could be a defensive situation into an attack. And he's been brilliant, but there's been so many good players. You started off this conversation, 7, 8, 9s out of 10. They were all at least an 8 today. And you need that to compete at this level. And I think a lot of our players today are showing they're enjoying the football again.
Well, you asked the question before the game, would we be better at times having less of the ball to encourage teams on? Well, it proved today when we had the ball and we move it quickly, what a different team we are. It's when we pass slowly and we're trying to build, you know, from one side of the pitch to the other, in, back through. Whereas when we went quick and got in behind, we noticed where their weakness was, and it was probably the centre-backs. They weren't the quickest over the ground, and when we played balls into those areas of the field, we looked such a danger.
I think we look more threatened when we play against four at the back, because teams got to go narrow. Then we can get the balls. That's the outlet out wide to our wide players, and then we can get movement in behind them. But we done it very, very quickly today, which was really nice. I think that's confidence, right?
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, once things start going for you, you'll take that chance on. You'll try and sort of pass between the lines when it's on. And I thought we worked at that well today.
Look at the first goal today is an example. Pressure on the ball.
Yep.
You know, Minty's back. I don't know what he's trying to do with the crossfield ball. But who won the header? Joe Gomez. Look how high up the pitch Joe was. You know, your right back is virtually in the right side, the centre forward position. Lovely cushioned header into Ekitike, and then the finish was absolutely sublime. Good touch, good finish. But that comes from pressure, people up in the right positions, and then that vision and awareness. I thought it was a brilliant header. You know, he knew exactly where he wanted to put it, and that is what sets up opportunities to get you the perfect start that Liverpool got today.
Yeah, when good players get confidence, they are hard to stop. But one of the players integral to what has happened over the course of today and also in midweek as well is Curtis Jones. Let's get his thoughts on this afternoon's efforts. We can hear from him now. He's inside speaking to Pete.
Well, Curtis fought so hard for that. Seems like another big 3 points at Anfield.
100%, yeah. It's been a long time since I've seen the team playing back-to-back games like that, where at the beginning of the game that we stick in there, and against two good teams as well who can obviously play as well, but the lads, you know, is in the mind frame of us that we don't quit, and when the chance comes that we'll take our chance, and that's what we've done.
To get the early goal was big as well, wasn't it? There's been so much talk about going behind to get it so early on when people were barely in the seats.
Yeah, it's important in games like that, and in terms of the form that we've obviously had in terms of a dip and stuff. I feel that teams have come against us and probably thought that they can, I wouldn't say it's an easy game, but they can nick points and stuff like that. So I feel that the first game has just showed them and their fans and their staff that it's not sweet over here, that we're still here as a team and as a fan base, and that the support is always there as well. So yeah, I thought that the first goal had changed everything. And obviously there was spells in the game where they was on top and things like that, but that's part of the Premier League. You know, there's never a team that is seen as an easy game. So yeah, we just always say that we just have to walk, we have to just ride through the storm, and then we'll come out the other side. And then the second goal is in, and then I feel that it's game done, as you could see there, that the lads all just sat back a bit and was compact, and we knew how important it was to them to come away with all three points, because the situation, if you see against Leeds, where we was 2-0 up and then we have to fight again to then try and get a draw. So I was telling the last day at the end, yeah, it's not going to be the same.
Your role looked a bit more defensive than you've been used to in time, but are there elements of the game sometimes when you are up against it where you've got to enjoy defending? We're seeing lads almost celebrate big tackles now, almost like their goals. Is that a big part of this resurgence as well?
Yeah, I feel that a big thing that we've obviously spoke about as a team and as staff and stuff have obviously said that, you know, it's huge if we can come away with a clean sheet and stuff. If I look around at the lads in the team, you know, I can hand on heart say I know that these guys are going to score and assist and going to help with the goals. If the guys at the back end and centre mid can obviously run more and can fight even harder to come away with a clean sheet, then there's no doubt in that we'll start to win more games. And as I showed there, you know, there's obviously games where it's still hard, but if you get a clean sheet, then we come away with goals. You know, you can say that the first game in Milan was luck, but it's a penalty at the end of the day, and we scored it. And then two goals there, then in a 2-0 game against a good team. You know, if we keep a clean sheet, then lads are going to score. So that's what we have to do.
Double Cruyff turns and everything for you defensively today. I mean, quadruple. Sorry, I miscounted two.
No.
What was going on?
I'm just one of them who just loves to play and I just enjoy having a ball at my feet. You know, obviously that is criticism at times that I don't move the ball quick enough, and that's just because I'm comfortable on the ball. I don't want to be in a rush and then I give a lad a ball who's not as comfortable as me on the ball, and now he's kind of in a little bit of a challenge and stuff, and then he gets the blame. As I'd rather just take it on me and know that a lad who comes to press me is going to have to do an awful lot to take the ball off me. But yeah, you know, is I'm adapting always. I'm trying to improve all the time. I want to score more goals. I want to get more assists. But in terms of the role that I play, you know, I'm happy to be part of the team. And if the gaffer picks me, he picks me. If he doesn't, I'm always going to be there to show that I deserve to their play. And that's what I'm trying at the minute.
How quick does life move? 200 appearances for Liverpool today. It seems like yesterday you were 16. In that time, you've seen it all.
Yeah, it's mad because, I actually had to speak with Trey and Rio was there as well, and I just said, boys, like, I know that you will hear it all the time of staff and family around you of how fast it goes, but my God, it goes so fast. You know, if I think about my first game when it was like Wolves away, and how fast, just the whole thing has changed. But yeah, you know, I can only thank the staff around me and the teammates around me who've always got the belief in me to keep me at the club and when I play to trust that, you know, I can play in that many games. I can only thank my mum and the family around me who've obviously played a huge part. You know, the times when it was taxis into training and all things like that. And the environment that I was obviously around as a kid, as a Scouts kid, it's quite easy to take another route. But yet I only had one goal in my mind, that was to play at this club, and that's what I'm doing. So I got a massive smile on my face. But it's 200 down, and hopefully there's many, many more to come.
Yeah, like you say, hopefully your best years are still in front of you. But just finally on that, the record, you're the youngest player since Steven Gerrard, youngest midfield player since Steven Gerrard to get to 200, which is quite nice when you think of the involvement he's had for you.
What person is it?
Yeah.
A follow-up. But and obviously Steven has obviously been a huge part of me, you know, me career and life. And I say life in a way of, because, you know, he's probably the first man to really have a pop at me at the academy. And just change me to think, I'm not better than anybody else or anything like that.
What was that about then? Was it just a reality check?
It was a reality check in terms of how I played and the role that he had gave me and all things like that. And Stephen would be the first to say that once I overcame a thing where I complicate things and I thought I was the man because I had the 10 on my back and all things like that, that I'd be the first man that he'd pick on his team. But yeah, that came with him, so I'd always been a kid that was top of the age group and all things like that. And at times you can come a little bit passive, I'd say. And Stephen was the first one to give me a real, real check. And coming from a man like him, you know, as I thought, well, a man who's played the game, a man that I had lads and all things like that, is I've got to change if it's him, he's telling me. And then from there, he just stuck with me and I stuck with him and we worked. And then, a year after, I'm around the first team, and then I'm studying now on 200 games. So he's obviously a man that I'd like to thank as well.
Well, double congratulations today. Well done.
Thank
mate.
You so much.
Top man. Thank you.
Yeah, 200 appearances for Liverpool Football Club for Curtis Jones. And Tom, every time I see him play, I'm more impressed. Every time I hear him speak now, I'm even more impressed. The maturity, the lessons he's learned, a really important figure within the team, but also, I think, a role model within the dressing room, and kind of underlined by some of the points he made in that interview.
Well, he values his place. He's in the team, in the squad. He knows his position. He's had to fight for the recognition to be a first-team player, because it's over the years you've gone and people have gone, oh, Curtis Jones, he's a good player and does that. But there was always a but you've seen them come, certainly in the last season, this season. You've seen there's a player there, you've seen that. I said before the game, he's literally going, listen, I deserve to be in this side from the start. And he's broke that mould of Ryan, of Dominic, of Alexis to say, I need to be in here. Barring giving me heart attacks with that, those dragbacks and everything on the byline, he's been wonderful. Three games on the run now, he's probably been man of the match. The other players have played well. Now, no Hugo, because he scored the goals. But I think an all-round contribution, it was down to Curtis today. He's played ever so well, and he deserves the recognition.
What I liked was, early on in that interview, he spoke about taking the ball, and he talked about those Cruyff turns in his own box, and saying, you know what, I'm a good player on the ball. I'll help my teammates out so they're not under pressure because I can deal with it better. And if it comes unstuck for me, I'll take that. I love that about, you know, that kind of selfless attitude. You want players to do that.
You want people with confidence. You want people who's got inner belief in their own ability and how good they can be. Now he's got to show it. You know, the manager's gave him an opportunity. He's put him in the team. Now he's got to perform game in, game out to retain his position in the team. That's the probably the most difficult area of the pitch at the minute, because you look at the quality. Ryan, you and I looked at him again today, he's got real quality, yeah. The way he runs away. Dominic's been so consistent from game one to this game today. Virtually every game he's played in, he's played at a very high level. Alexis has been probably the one that's been up and down a little bit, hence he hasn't always been in the team, but now Curtis is part of that equation as well, and rightly so, the way that he's performed. He said there, people say about him passing the ball a bit quicker. That might be something that'll add to his game. He says, I'm willing to learn. And that's what I like about him. He's a down-to-earth, lovely young man. Congratulations on reaching 200 games. Hopefully there are hundreds more to come. But that's down to him now. Now, he's now put himself in a position to say to the manager, I think I should be in the team now. Manager picks him, then it's up to him.
See, I know
what
I was saying
well.
About the drag back on the byline and everything, but the majority of the time with him now, he does it. We spoke about it before the game. Of he did one in Leeds just in our half, right in the middle, and he just got away with it. Turned and just, you went, wow, because it does get you sort of nerves as you're playing as a staff member. But a lot of his good stuff is in that sort of over the halfway line in there, because he gets it in tight controls. He turns and he goes forward and he passes it forward. And we look so much better for Curtis doing that.
He knows what he's good at. He knows what he should be doing on the ball, because he knows himself, the quality that he's got. There's something that he mentioned there, and I think he's right about what he's got to try and do, and that's add goals to his games. That's the next add-on, isn't it? As a player, as a midfield player, you've got to be scoring 6, 7, 8 goals a season, round about that mark. If you get a bit more now, all well and good. That's something he said himself he'd like to add to his game. So that shows you, to me, he's thinking about it. What have I got to improve upon that's going to make me an even better player? And that's what every player should be trying to do. Try to figure out what's not quite the area where it should be. And if he can get it up, his goal scoring opportunities, whether he's, you know, in and around the box, taking shots at goal, little 1-2s and getting through with the pace that he's got. He's got the ability to do that, but he's also got the mindset that he wants to improve upon that as well.
Well, he was, what, a couple of inches away from a goal at Elland Road last weekend in the opening stages, hit the crossbar. He's added awareness and he's added work rate to his performances over the last 18 months, so you wouldn't put it past him adding goals on top of that as well. You spoke about, you know, good players when they get confidence, what they can do. What I think about all those players in that midfield is they're at their best when they're playing on the edge, when you think the guy on the other team's going to nick the ball, but they move it quickly. And there was a little passage of play on the touchline in the second half where Ryan's taking the ball under pressure, shielding the ball. It was one touch, it's held off onto the next player, and they moved it so well. And the Brighton players, they thought they were getting there and they couldn't win it back, and we escape and move up the pitch. And I think when we're at our best, we do that really well.
Yeah, well, we've seen that today. It's about transition. It's about getting through the lines. And we in that, we cut about 4 or 5 players out with a couple of touches. And that was one of the... Again, I keep coming back to this confidence thing. It's to try that in the right areas, but to get beyond their press. And that's, as we've seen in these games, that has come more and more. That has been like last season, of that passing and movement in between. I think Ryan's, in made hub with that, because as he gets it, because with his pace, he's past him and you go, wow, did you just see that? It's happened. It's so quick before your very eyes.
Yeah, Ryan Gravenberch's one of those people. I just don't understand how his hips move. I just can't figure it out. They're just inexplicable. We should probably touch on the fact Hugo Katiki's got a couple of goals today, as he did last weekend. Yeah. His goal this afternoon came after 46 seconds. One of Liverpool's fastest Premier League goals, but not the fastest. Naby Keita has that record. He scored within 15 seconds against Huddersfield back in 2019. But two goals today, two goals last weekend as well. He's in double figures already now, showing he can really cut it at this level. And what I like about him is he has a knack within the box, as we spoke about pre-match, that second goal at Leeds, to find the areas, to have that desire. I like his link-up play. I like the way he joins up with other players at times.
Yeah, listen, he's got all-round ability. There's no question about it. But for me, when I'm looking at a striker, I'm looking at how many chances you're going to get, how many goals you're going to score. That's what I'm looking at. Yeah, I don't mind you the build-up play, but I want you to see in the box, attacking it in the right areas and finishing the opportunities. He must have had six or seven attempts today. What I seen
him.
I thought he was absolutely extraordinary. I mean, he had one run in the second half when he went past four or five. I didn't know he was that quick. I thought he was reasonably quick, but he went past three or four of them. He went, wow. And it was just the final shot. He was just a little bit off balance when they took the shot on. But once again, for someone of his age coming into a club like Liverpool, it's not fazed him at all. I mean, he's hit the ground running. He's one of the new players you can see that every time he's been out to perform, he's played to a high level. And another two goals.
And he's got confidence in his own ability, right? Yeah, because he's had a little bit of a pop at times at some of the other players who's told, that's a chance for me. And that's what you value. Listen, I was a defender. I don't sort of know what these guys do. But Aldo would probably tell you that. The more opportunities and the more chances you take, the more goals you will score in the end. And so I don't think you can... I wouldn't complain if somebody's taking on shots unless it's an easier chance for you to lay on for somebody. But as many as, and that's what we were saying, he'd had four chances and it mightn't have just been that. It might have been the first 25 minutes. And fair play to him, he looks a threat.
Mo Salah assisted his second goal today. That's 277 direct goal involvements for Mo, overtaking Wayne Rooney in the charts for goal involvements for just one club in the Premier League. Underlines the contributions he makes both as scorer and creator of goals for Liverpool. And we should speak about Mo, what he did when he came on. You know, people debated how the manager's changed the team, looking to halt the run of results, things he's done in terms of personnel, in terms of setup. But I think the evidence is there today. Sometimes, for the good of the team, for the good of the player, you take a player out the firing line, give them a break, they come back maybe slightly less jaded, or with a point to prove and the bit between the teeth. And we saw that was probably Mo's best performance of the season, or one of them at least.
No, I agree with that. And I think one of the biggest things, he enjoyed it today. I've not seen him enjoy it this year. And we've got to think back to what happened in the close season with Diogo. And I'm just wondering, and maybe they've had a chat with the boss. I mean, we don't know what's gone on in there. But if they had that, and sometimes it's good to get your feelings out of the way. And he looked happy. He looked good. He could have a smile with Verge when he when he should have played him in, which was quite a simple pass for Mo. And he got, and you can enjoy your football, because that's what it's about. As much as we're under stress, much as we're under pressure, you've got to enjoy it. And he looked as though he was enjoying himself today.
I thought the reception for the fans was excellent. And I think that gave him confidence and belief as well going onto the pitch. But overall, I thought he looked strong, full of running. You know, the pass to Virgil was a little bit, but what about the cross for Ekitike? Absolutely pinpoint accurate. You know, that's something maybe he hadn't been doing earlier on in the season, maybe hitting the first man, but that just got it out of his feet and he flighted it beautifully to the back post. And it was a simple header for him to double the lead for Liverpool. But all round, I totally agree with Tom over there. I thought he had a smile on his face. He looked happy, didn't he? Yep. He looked like confident. You could see the little interchanges of play that he had, particularly, I thought, down the right-hand side with Dominic. Him and Dominic were playing little 1-2s, and you could see the joy and the happiness. You know, and there's major change to what we've led to believe, but
it's great to see. That's what you want to see. Players get out there enjoying themselves, interacting with the crowd and getting a great reception as well.
Liverpool's first goal from a set piece, from a corner, sorry, in the Premier League so far this season. Hopefully that is a trend that will continue. Yeah, that was it. And what I thought as well was good, the forward players, you know, there were times when he could have taken the shot on himself, but he'd feeding teammates. He was thinking about the team as well, which I think was good to see. And maybe a couple of others at times. Hugo maybe took on shots maybe he shouldn't have done. There's a learning process there, but signs of encouragement in terms of how they're linking up.
His first involvement. He goes forward inside right position. And you're going, oh, Mo's going to bend it here. And he just lays it off. I think it was McAllister, was it?
Yeah.
And really, he should have shot. And it's like we tried to walk it in there. But it was a perfectly weighted pass. And I think we're all shocked because we all thought, oh, he's going to come on. And I'm going to hit it. And he's just laid that little ball.
But just how he held off the left back. You know, there was a few occasions when he just upper body strength. Absolutely incredible.
He's much happier when it's a back four that he's playing against. Back five, the fella's like down. He's a couple of yards off him. And he's getting him to stop every ball. And he doesn't get a chance to run at anybody. He did today.
I just wonder, we saw in the closing stage, it was effectively kind of like a 4-4-2 kind of it. And Mo was sort of through the middle. I just wonder, we have seen it before where he's played more centrally. I just wonder, as the season goes on, that'll be another option, whether he'll play at the top end of the field where there's less defensive responsibility and he can really affect the game in the forward areas.
I personally think he's better in the wide area. Yes, he can play through the middle, but I think when he came on, and he was much further up on the right-hand side than Joe was, wasn't he? And he gave us much more of an outlet. And you can see the fear in the fullback because he's thinking, well, I had Joe Gomez there. I was all right. But also now, with all due respect, I've got Mo Salah there now. And you could see him thinking, oh, he's going to play a little 1-2s and get in and around me. And it was just the intricate football that Liverpool played at that stage that got in behind Brighton. So that's what he offers you. That's the difference in players that you've got. And Mo, you know, when he comes back from the AFCON, I'm sure he'll be ready and willing to get back into the team.
Yeah, Joe Gomez has many, many qualities, but he does not have 277 goal involvements for Liverpool. I know that off the top of my head. Speaking of Joe Gomez, the hope is now that he's not got a serious problem, because we've seen in the last week, 10 days, what a valuable asset he can be. We want to make things a little bit more secure at the back and have a different body to put into that back line.
I hope for Joe. You know, I feel for the boy. He's been here so long, but he keeps on picking up the injuries. And you hope, because obviously Connor got that suspension and he's thrown Joe in. He's come in for sort of a couple of games now playing, and you do worry about him. And you just seen him when he went down, I thought, oh no. And I don't know, I think it's a muscle injury. Hopefully it's just a muscle injury, that he'll be back in a few weeks. But he's done so well, and he's always there, Joe. You know you can rely upon him to come in and do a job. As Ray said, listen, he gets upfield far too much, and there's no real goal threat from him. It's better when Mo went there. But there's no doubt in his value to this team and this squad. And I just feel for the boy all the time he gets an injury.
Not just him, but Dominic looked like he had some sort of an injury. He got up and played on, but there was a slight concern then. It was a few players going down, Ekitike even down. Hopefully it was just cramp. But you just start to think, it's just fortunate there's not another midweek game, because the games have been piling up recently, whether that be for Liverpool, whether it be internationally. There's been no real break for the Liverpool players. They've virtually been playing 2-3 games a week, haven't they? And I just think now is a good time for them to have a little break and just get that focus back again and rest up a little bit.
Yeah, Dominic Szoboszlai is a player we certainly don't want to be losing, given how much he's contributed in the first part of the season. I would hate to think how many kilometres he's clocked up already. He is Mr. Non-Stop, Mr. Dynamo. You touch on the fact there's a break. That is the big thing. We spoke about it pre-match. Two clear midweeks now. Yep. Something we haven't had a lot of so far this season. And it's coming at a good time, because we are a little bit, like we said pre-match, you look at the bench, no Gakpo, no Endo. Isak could come on for a little bit today but couldn't start today. We could do with that little break to get some people a little bit of rest and get a few bodies back.
And we're doing it. It's sort of, there's big game. Every game's a big game. But it's nice to be able to get. And we were talking about it. We weren't just saying, like, oh, you give them to go away for 2 or 3 days. It's not a jolly. It's to get yourself rested up, because you've got it. It's only going to get harder in January. It's for these lads, and then they come back, and whether it's sort of Tuesday or Wednesday they come back in, you can train properly, because you haven't got a game in the midweek. You can organise them, you can have, you know, sort of do some set plays, do something is just for them to get together again and do some proper coaching, because Arne and his staff have just not had that opportunity.
There may be one or two needs some more fitness work as well. You know, some that have not been training. I know they've been away and maybe sitting on the bench, but some of them might need to get up to speed with a...
You've got that option now. You can do different things for different people, can't you?
Some of the lads, you can say, you know what, you need a break. You need just to go away. Don't think about football for a couple of days. Enjoy it.
Like
sometimes we've had, yeah. And there are others, you know what, we'll bring you in and we'll just do a little bit of fitness. Not saying they're going to run them every day, but just a little bit of fitness work. Just keep them ticking over. Keep their minds right for the upcoming
matches. Can't do that over Christmas. Come on, lads, come in for a run. That'd be harsh.
No, we should go on Christmas Day. We should come down and train Christmas Day.
Yeah, but I know, but how much, you know, just running? Surely there was ball work. It wasn't just running.
Ball work, yeah, but we used to do work as well. Yeah,
but not just running. You made it sound like getting them in and run them into the ground. Come
on. I just said that. It's not about running them into the ground. It's just doing some work.
Have they ever played seven-a-side across the pitch,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no.
Many a true word said in jest.
When just, the squad turned up, was 8-a-side, don't you?
What was I going to say then? You throw me off my train of thought. I genuinely forgot what I was going to say now. What were we talking about? The interesting thing was, you know, we looked at the league table at the top of the show. We're now into the top six. We've overtaken. We sort of said it tongue-in-cheek above Man United, Everton. The thing within all this, it's teams like that have not had the same schedule. They've not been playing two games a week. They don't have European football. So as the season moves on and things thin out a little bit, you'll set a truer idea of where everyone is at. And we're still in a relatively good position when you take into the consideration we basically had a month and a half where we kept losing.
Well, exactly. And you're looking at it. Nobody's made a clear break between us and that top four. Even Arsenal, for goodness sake. You know, you're looking and they've been very good. It's just we've gone through, had that blip. And I'd like to think and hope it's a blip, and it was a long one, is that it's all... And I think a load of us, you don't want to sound as though you knew it. This team was always going to be better in the second half of the season because all those boys will be settling in and getting to know each other, and we'll find out who is going to be our main players going forward after the new year arrives. And I think we're seeing that, and we're going to get that, we're looking better. So it will do, but we've just got to be concentrate on ourselves, not look at the league all the time and just think, keep on chucking away at the Premier League.
Liverpool's always been one game at a time. That's where the clubs are. The ethos has always been about, don't look too far ahead. Just think about next upcoming fixture, which is going to be Tottenham away. That'll be a tough enough game. Tottenham are a good football inside, a bit like Brighton. You know, they'll go out there, they'll try to pass through the thirds, they'll try and look for weaknesses. But if Liverpool show the sort of form that they have in the last few matches, three wins and two draws in the last five, and you continue with that, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for consistency of performance now, game in, game out. And I think the players, you know, they all know that. So the new players know that. And that's why you've seen better from Kirkus. Wirtz has been better. We've all seen him. He's improved from where he came in at the start of the season to where he is now. For me, it's like night and day in many respects.
Wirtz has been fantastic. Yeah. He really has. He's sort of one of those players you can see him really settling.
Yeah, when he really gets into his stride, there is a phenomenal talent there. You do imagine. Okay, five games then without defeat for the Reds as we get towards the end of the year. Another good afternoon for Arne Slot to follow up on what we saw in midweek in Milan. What's he made of it all? Let's find out. He's inside speaking with Pete.
Well, congratulations, boss. You must be delighted with that today.
Yeah, for so many reasons, but maybe mainly because we've had to play so many games in such a short period of time. Mainly the same players. Not constantly, because I could rotate a little bit, but emphasizing on a little bit because there weren't many players available. So that these players played the four games in 10 days was really hard for them. And then with maybe one day extra rest and then play Brighton, which is a very good team, very good in ball possession. So you need to be on top of your game, especially without the ball. Otherwise, they're so comfortable to play through you. So that they could do this one more time after such a tough period cost them a lot of energy, as you could see, because not all of them could finish the 90 minutes. But the mentality of the team was that good that we were able to win it.
Another point that you've emphasised is to score first. How good was that to get the goal as early as you did today?
Yeah, very positive, because it's always helpful to go with a 1-0 lead, because a few times we have to experience how it is to go one goal down from the start. I think there were a few things that helped us today. So no referee decisions going against us, just a neutral referee game. No, a positive set piece balance, where so many games where we've dropped points, we conceded one. Today we scored one. So yeah, these things are so helpful if you want to have a result, because in a game which is a low scoring game, decisions go against you, or conceding a set piece have a big impact on the result of a game, not on the performance, but mainly on the result.
Tell us about Hugo Ekitike, and I know you don't ever like to single out players, but in terms of how well he's adapted to the Premier League, he's got all kinds of different finishes and range. He almost looks like he was born to play in this league.
Yeah, but what I mainly see is people are focusing on his goals. That is very important, by the way, because I just said it's a low-scoring sport, so goals are very important. But I also see a different thing where he gets better and better. He gets stronger and stronger, so it's getting more and more difficult for the other players, other teams to get him off the ball. He's getting more and more energy to keep on running with and without the ball. And he's not the only one where I see this with. Many of the players we've brought in this summer that had to adapt to the Premier League or had to adapt to Premier League and Champions League are improving in terms of football, but definitely also in terms of intensity and fitness-wise. And we always knew this, but it's nice that that everybody sees this now as well, that some players do need a bit of time to adapt to this crazy intensity and this crazy amount of games at the highest level.
Resilience as well. You did enough to win the game at Leeds from an attacking perspective. It was so cruel, but the way you respond in Milan, the way you respond today must be great news for you, the way you saw your lads respond today.
Yeah. But not only lads, I think the fans were, like they were in Milan, helpful today again as well. The boys put in a performance that it's also easier maybe for fans to help them if they see they're fighting and they try everything and play good football in between, by the way, as well. But I think it was, again, a combination of things that the fans helped us. The players were at it, on it, if that's the way to say it. And as a result of that, we were a bit lucky today, let's be honest, because we've played many, many, many games in many weeks and months, maybe. We had no luck at all, where we sometimes conceded three goals without giving a chance away. This would sound strange, but I mean what I say. And today we conceded actually quite a lot, but we were lucky that they didn't score, and that means five games unbeaten, five out of the five games three clean sheets, and that's something to build on.
Just finally, a week's break between games now, and obviously that has an impact today. Dom looks like he's struggling. Joe obviously comes off after a great assist as well. Do you know anything about their conditions at the minute?
If a player goes off with a muscle injury like Joe, that's normally not a positive thing. I would not expect him to be in the squad next week, but yeah, sometimes you get a positive surprise. People now maybe understand a bit better why I was always so cautious not to play him so many games, where I assume many people thought, if you have a defender, if you have a right fullback, why don't you play him? And Dom, yeah, it was his ankle. Didn't do great when I just saw him, but he has unbelievable mentality, so let's hope for the best. The good thing is that Conor Bradley comes back from a suspension, and normally Jeremy Frimpong will train with us again also, but we're also going to miss Mo because he's going to go to the African Cup of Nations.
Well done today.
Thanks, thank
Bob.
You.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, do you think that if ever a player was going to bounce back from rolling his ankle, it would be Dominic Szoboszlai? He feels like the kind of guy who's pretty resilient, pretty hardy, but we'll wait and see what happens over the course of the next week. Joe Gomez, it sounds like he's going to be out, and that is a blow. We touched on that a little bit earlier. But he makes a fair point, the manager, you know, explaining the justification why sometimes he didn't put him in when others were clamouring, including the likes of us post-match, to give Joe perhaps more minutes. There's a reason behind it sometimes.
Yeah, there is. And you look at Joe, it's sometimes you worry for him because of the muscle injuries and you worry for him. I remember it's down at Plymouth when you chased the first ball and I went, oh, he's gone. And this is after about 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You just know and you fear for him. So when you've always got that doubt in you, it's hard to sort of really express yourself. But it's great to hear from the bosses look, you know, everybody wants him to play, and they're saying, you know, Joe's got a great option, but he's got to be very, very delicate with how many games he gets. Dominic, I would like to think, you roll your ankle, it'll be swelling, it'll be sore. About, you get to probably Wednesday, it'll be going down. Ice treatments and rest, he'll be ready to go, I'm quite sure, by next weekend.
He said there about the chances conceded today, and we touched on that a little bit earlier. Brighton, decent time, had some good opportunities. There was a couple of balls flashed across the box, the one that Diego Gomez missed at the back post. You know, they are big moments in a game. And in our run we've just had, they're probably things that perhaps would have gone against us. We've actually turned a corner now, and a few things are falling our way. You have to have that bounce of the ball at times against good teams.
But we could say that same about the chances that we had. They didn't quite go in. You know, I thought we had better chances, if you like, than certainly than Brighton did. There was the one where Matoma done a little 1-2 and he went through and it just went wide. And the other one that came across, Big Ibu done enough just to put the attacker off at the back post. Yeah, but they were the ones. That aside, I don't remember Ali like jumping from one side of the goal to the other making saves. But what I like about the manager is he's no different when we're losing to when we're winning. There's such a balanced approach to what he says. He doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. He just comes out and tells you how he's seen it in a particular game. And that's what I like about him. There's an honesty about what he says as well. And today he'll be delighted. He'll be delighted with the efforts, you know, coming back on Wednesday from Inter and then having a few days training and then getting himself up for a big game like this, and to back it up with another victory and another clean sheet, all credit to him.
He's telling people, as it is, we've played better than today, particularly the Manchester United match, because you get beat, certainly the Manchester United, because who it was against. Because you lose the game, it's all bad. Yeah. Everything's wrong. It's not always bad. Even the Leeds game and the Sunderland, the games we should have won. And it's nice to hear the manager saying it and for the fans to listen when you've had a win so that you're not moaning.
That is it for this episode of The Reaction. We'll be back again next Saturday night with more analysis and interviews after Liverpool's trip to Tottenham. Until then, if you haven't already, then please give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts. That'll make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.
I'm Virgil van Dijk.
I'm Federico Chiesa.
I'm Andy Robertson.
Have a boss Christmas with Liverpool FC Retail.
Shop hundreds of exclusive Liverpool FC gifts for the Reds in your life.
Buy them today.
At your official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store, and on the official LFC store app.
Merry Christmas from LFC Retail.
You never walk alone.